Turn with me this morning to Psalm 147. Beginning in verse 1, let's hear the word of God. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. Again, Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing. As we open your word, I ask that the Holy Spirit will illuminate the scripture to us. Open our hearts, open our minds to receive it. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This psalm begins with a command. It says, praise the Lord. That wasn't a suggestion. That wasn't just a good idea at the time. God inspired him to offer this command. And as we get through those end psalms, you see that more and more being a part of the work there. If there's one thing that the human nature does not want to do, it's praise the Lord. Right? In our humanity, in our sinful self, we don't want to praise the Lord. We want to grump a lot. That's easier. It is. We're Christians, though. Right? We know that we ought to praise the Lord. We know that. We have that head knowledge. And yet still, our flesh will resist. Still, we'll sit back and we'll say, you know I mean to praise you, Lord, but after a while, you know, after I've had a second cup of coffee, then we can get there, right? We know that we ought to do that, and God knows this as well, and so out of necessity, he reminds us to praise him. And then the good thing about God is when he tells us to do something, he gives us the grace to do it. So you don't have to fight for it so much. He gives you the grace to do that. Now it says here specifically, we are called to praise God with singing. Now I wonder, when we're not in a corporate setting or a formal setting per se, what do we sing? Or do we sing? I know. Sometimes we're a little bashful. Sometimes we say, you know, I just can't sing. I don't have a good voice. Join the crowd. But God doesn't tell us sing praises to him only if you sing well. He says sing praises to him. I'll bet when you're alone in a car with the radio on, you don't have any trouble singing. Or where you're in that most private of places, you're in the shower, and the acoustics are so good. Hey, really, acoustics in a shower are fantastic. And you know what? When you're singing in the shower, you can sing like you're really somebody. You know? Yeah. Elvis Streisand. You know? Barbara Presley, I don't know, whatever. Get in that shower and you can just really bust it loose. And then you hope there's nobody outside when you're done in the shower, right? Yeah, because you got to open the door, look around, then make your way out. That's what we do. There is, in those settings, really no sign of self-consciousness. You know? We are willing to just open up and go at it. And when we do sing, the songs that we sing generally reflect what is occupying our hearts at the moment. Because there's all kinds of songs. There's cheerful songs and sad songs. There's silly songs. There's even rebellious songs. You know, some of you unacquainted with some of modern music, and this is not even really modern, this goes back several years, but in the rock world, there was a group called Twisted Sister, who did a song, it was more like an anthem, and it said, "We're not gonna take it. Oh no, we're not gonna take it anymore." Well, good for you. Young people have been encouraged to that kind of a thing for a long time. You know, I mean, you know, that's the kind of thing, kind of music that's out there. There are lots of things that we can do vocally. But we got to be reminded sometimes that there are actually songs available to us that are for edification and for praise. Because sometimes those slip right by us. We don't even think about that. And we get into our situations, we get into our funks, the things that we do, and we don't think to do just the opposite of what we naturally want to do. When we naturally want to grump, praise. When we naturally want to sing the sad song, try and cheer it up a bit. See if that works. See how that goes. The psalmist tells us that it is good, or it's a good thing, to sing praises to God. Does that come into your mind at all? That in moments of singing, that you're singing to God. What's He want to hear? All right, God, you can call in your request at this number right now. No, see, that's not the way we do it. We can just sing praise to Him. Charles Spurgeon commented on this. He said, it is good because it is right. It is good because it is acceptable with God, beneficial to ourselves, and stimulating to our fellows. There are many benefits to praiseworthy songs. And if God's word instructs us to do something, how can it be wrong? Our call to worship this morning, Psalm 100, he says, come before his presence with singing. And the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Colossians, he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's a lot. Say, Paul, that was easy for you to write, but how do I get that to work? Because I don't know, sometimes I don't feel like I got the grace to do that. And yet God tells us to do it. He gives it. We trust Him for it. We say, Lord, You told me to do this. I believe You. And take the plunge. Jump in with both feet. It is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, or it's delightful. What is often thought to be drudgery can become delightful. Now, confession time. Growing up, most of my life in church. Since I was about 3 years old or so, I've been in church. And I have to admit to you that sometimes sitting in services, you know, it's like, can we just get it done? Let's get through this music. Let's, by all means, get done with the preaching. Whatever. And so I can get back out the door again and go home. Sometimes it seems much of a drudgery. And you know, when I was a kid, I mean, my father was very strict about things because coming from the background that he came from, he wanted to do everything right. And the good Baptists had put enough legalism into his mind that he went over and above to try and do everything right. So it got a little rigid. If you needed to get up and go to the restroom while a church service was going on, God help you. Because you weren't going anywhere. You were setting. I said, but I really got to go, Dad. Nope. You'll wait. My, oh my, the bladder is a wonderful thing. It's amazing how well you can contain yourself in those circumstances. Of course, now that I'm old, that's a whole different ballgame. But, when a young man, Dad says, you're not going anywhere, you didn't go anywhere. So you could see sometimes when you're young, immature, and not being able to understand how some of these things can be a drudgery. Unfortunately, some of that still reflects in grown-up people. And we got to say that we have to get beyond that and see that it is a delightful thing to sing praises to God. When we overcome the tendencies of the flesh, which are strictly to please ourselves, there can be no doubt about that. The tendencies of the flesh are to please ourselves. When we can overcome those things and begin to sing praise to God, the exercise can become a pleasant one. You'll find yourself in communion with Almighty God and welcomed into His presence. And there can be no more pleasant place than to be in the presence of God. Our focus in that situation would leave those things that would make us miserable and switch instead to the One from whom all blessings flow. For it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful, or more precisely, fitting. Singing our praise to God is not only good and pleasant, but it is actually suitable. It's what we should do. It's what we should be doing. To bring ourselves daily into communion with God, not simply on Sunday morning. It is suitable. It is fitting because he declares it so. Not just because we think it's a good idea. Sometimes, as a parent, you tell your child to do something, and they say, why? Now, when they're this size, you can just say, because I'm your father, I'm your mother, and I said so. Really? I mean, I can't tell you how many times in my life I heard, I said so. Works for me. Because I said so. Now that answer may have been less than satisfying. But even so, you obeyed. Or you should have. You did it anyway. A child will obey because he recognizes, to some degree at least, the authority of his parent. Or he recognizes that there are consequences if he doesn't obey. So he will just go ahead and do it. Thing is, kids grow up. You know? They really do. You know, tell a story on Billy. He doesn't even know about it. But, see, he did this thing in a dream where he was only about this big. And he's crawling up the stairs on his elbows. And he's making his way all the way up the stairs. And he's laughing and giggling. And he turned around and he slid all the way back down. Oh, just having a grand old time, you know. There are pictures around somewhere where I can be found holding him on my shoulders. You know, letting him sit up on my shoulders. Can't do that now. It's a great thing when they're that size because you can say, do it because I said so. When kids start to grow up, they want reasons. Because God put it within us for our minds to work. And we want to understand why. As we walk in faith, our Christian lives, there are things that God does for us. Sometimes we think God does to us. And there are places that God leads us, and we might say, why? And the answer is not always readily available. I have two things that I fall back on all the time that I believe are true, is that whatever God does, he does to edify us and to glorify himself. And I think that's true in any part of life. But sometimes we want to know why, and as these kids grow up, and you know, because I said so is not sufficient. We want to give them reasons. God gives us reasons. He tells us to sing praises. He tells us to do something, but he gives us reasons. We have a duty to do as God commands. But the reasons that he gives us go beyond that duty. He says, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. Well, that's a reason. That is a reason. Israel, when Israel would read these Psalms, they would later relate this to the captives coming back from Babylon. They would see the connection there. And that would be reason for them to sing praise to God. God has delivered them from their captivity and brought them back. In a spiritual sense, though, Jerusalem is sometimes used to refer to the church. you and I. And so we look at that and we see that he is the builder. And he builds us. He brings us out of our captivity. He's the one who does it. And so it gives us reason to praise him. As a church, universal, individual, we have a calling. We are to evangelize the world that we inhabit, the world that we come in contact with. Now, you and I may not be called to go to some foreign nation for an extended period of time. But we have a mission field, if you would, a place to evangelize just in the area where we live. You know, Debbie and Betty, years ago, got to go to Colombia and do some evangelizing in a place where they couldn't speak the language. And got to do some work that way. Here we have an opportunity to speak to people, and sometimes, let's be honest, we don't even speak the same language, even though it's English. Sometimes it's difficult to communicate. Yet God will enable you to give his gospel to those that you come in contact with. That's part of the calling. He says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Jesus is the great physician. And he tends to all of the ills of all of his people. Diseases that have their roots in sin. Are one aspect of that. But those who have a sinful heart, those who are brokenhearted because they commit treason against Almighty God, have a special place for him. He heals them. He restores them. We repeat it every week. When we go to God contritely, he forgives us. He wipes the slate clean. There's nothing there anymore. If we find ourselves in a state of life where we are habitually committing sin and it doesn't bother us, that's a problem. That's something that needs to be dealt with. But if you are a child of God, that condition will not last for long. I always go back to David. David took him a year. And David committed some horrendous sins. It was a year before he confessed those sins. But God will always bring us back to himself to heal the brokenhearted and to bind up those wounds. The grace of God is something that's beyond comprehension sometimes. It's an amazing amount of mercy that he shows to people every single day. Nothing more, and it's not to downplay it, but the truth of the need of a Savior. People walking about in this life plagued in sin, dead in sin. not having a clue that they need a Savior. Yet God in His grace makes opportunities for them to hear the truth. God has dominion over His creation. Do you know how many stars there are? No? No? I think that's going to be the first assignment in school this year. All right, you have to determine, you have to go out and count nightly the stars. And you have to get a complete count. You can't miss any. God knows how many there are. We'll never know. But God not only knows them, it says He calls them by name. You know, there's some crazy outfit that will sell you a piece of paper to allow you to name a star. But those stars have already been named. So you're stealing. God is great. He is magnanimous. He is infinite. He is inconceivably glorious. And human language fails. We can't describe God. The best words that we can come up with can't describe God. Someday we'll see Him face to face and maybe we'll get close at that time. But all we can do now is thank Him and appreciate Him and glorify Him as best we can for who He is. His power is so great. Get this. His power is so great, nothing can thwart His plans. You know, we got all these wicked, wild guys that are determined. They're going to get rid of God. Yeah. There is no God. We're going to do whatever we want. God doesn't have any say in this. Well, they're fools. Because nothing thwarts the plans of God. Nothing prevents His ability to carry them out. And the thing is, unlike men, who if men had that same power, would surely abuse it, God is not a tyrant. He's not a tyrant. He's holy. And He's just, and He's merciful. You know what else? There's nothing He doesn't know. Nothing that He doesn't know. That can either comfort you, or that can disturb you greatly, depending on your situation. God knows everything about you. Going a little long, but I know some of you don't use computers much, but this is a bizarre thing about the world of the internet. I could do something totally unrelated to that internet, not even on it. I went looking for some hardware, okay? Looking for some hardware. On my Facebook page, hardware ads start to show up. Within seconds, this is not the next day, this is within seconds of me looking at hardware, I get hardware ads. When I was looking for a car, that I did online. I was looking for a car. Again, within seconds, car ads start popping up in my newsfeed. It's like, really? And they would have you believe that there is nothing that they don't know about you. But with God, that's true. He knows everything. Nothing is hidden from Him. And unlike these mortal rulers who have a big talk, I'm Tim Ryan and I approve that message. God actually cares for the lowly. He's not running for anything. Doesn't have to. He lifts up the humble. And He humbles the wicked. See, their day's coming. And so is ours. These are reasons to praise. There's more, but I'm not going to go there. I'm going to wrap it up for this morning. It's good to know. I mean, it's enough that God tells us to praise Him and to praise Him in song. But what a blessing for Him to give us reasons. Thank Him for it. Let's pray.